Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you so much once again taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me today. Let me just say to you, 9 in the morning, and it's already 68 beautiful degrees here in Florissant, Missouri. Spring has officially broke and burst through the winter cold. And today it's a day to break out the shorts and the barbecue grill. Wow, it is a wonderful day. Today's broadcast is a serious, dramatic, reaching out, ministering to people whose lives are broken by crimes, by evil acts. And today I want to talk about the recent acid attack in Tabriz, Iran. And I'll minister to people who are broken and hurting, and especially those who have been scarred for a lifetime by these horrible, senseless acid attacks. But before I do that, I want to begin the program today. I want you to hear the words to this beautiful song of worship by Corey Asbury. This is called Reckless Love. The theme of this song is the God of irresistible love who pursues us with his heart and soul, no matter where we are, to restore our lives. I want you to hear this beautiful song, and I'll be right back.
Your life in me,
been so, so kind to me.
Asbury with a beautiful, beautiful ballad. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. It's describing a theme in my recent book, Dance with the Fireflies, the God of irresistible, restorative love who brings beauty out of the ashes of our suffering. This past week has been an emotional week for me. I saw the picture of a young 26-year-old Iranian girl who lives in Tabriz, Iran, with her parents. Her name is Masumeh Jalilpour. Her face had been scarred, disfigured by an acid attack. And I want you to hear this short little story of what happened to Masumeh on an average, everyday life. It's horrible. That day I was going to go to the shopping mall with my mother. I told my mom, I'm going down, and then you can come later. When I went down, I saw my suitor. This is a man who was interested in me, but I told him I wouldn't marry him because he's too violent. He approached me. He told me, I want to talk with you, Masumeh, for just a moment. I went closer and asked, why are you here? Then suddenly he opened the car and pulled my hair and dragged me inside the car. He drove down the highway, and after pulling over to the side of the road, he held the car, took a knife, took my hair, and said, you are mine. I begged him not to hit me, and finally he cut my two fingers with a knife. Then he sat down on my chest, and then he picked up a liter bottle. I thought it was water, but it was acid, and he poured it over my face and my body. I screamed. He yelled and escaped. And for 20 minutes, I'm on the side of the highway yelling and crying out for help. Some people found me, and they called an ambulance, took me to the hospital. My eyes, I cannot see. They're blurry. My body is on fire. I'm burning. I've completely lost my face and hair. I just want justice. I just want my face back again. I cannot live like this. And if you see me, you will understand why I say that. Masumeh and her family live in one of the poorest areas in Tabriz. And they don't have enough money to pay for the hospital and the surgeries that are required to restore her face. And they are just waiting for justice and help from a government who does nothing to bring to justice those who commit these horrific crimes. When you see Masumeh's picture on my Facebook page, you will see her picture before and then after the acid attack. It is literally frightening to look at. The worst thing for an Iranian person is acid attacks. Acid attacks have a long history in Iran, and the Iranian regime does nothing to control it. It actually promotes this crime in the community. They actually send out people, even ordinary citizens, not just besieged, that is paramilitary people, to check to make sure that women are complying with the dress code, the Islamic dress code. And if they see a woman wearing a hijab improperly or wearing what they call a bad hijab, they can attack them. One young girl was in traffic. A motorcyclist asked her to roll down the window and threw acid at her face because she wasn't wearing her hijab. It's horrible. Women are disfigured to satisfy a craving for purity and supposedly the love of God. Similar motives may be identified in other Muslim countries, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Kuwait, but not to the extent of the attacks in Iran. In these last three countries, victims are not only condemned for provoking the assaults, but are psychologically persecuted afterwards. In early October 2014, there was 14 acid attacks on young women in Isfahan, the city of Isfahan. One woman died from injuries sustained in the attack. The others have seen their futures destroyed within just a few moments. The victims' families have been ordered by the Ministry of Intelligence and Security's Isfahan office to say nothing about these attacks and not to publish photographs on the social media of the horrendous mutilations inflicted by them. One victim has said it is obvious that they belong to the notorious Ansar-e-Hezbollah, supporters of the Party of God. The Ansar are a long-standing group of religious hardliners who started life in the 1979 revolution by beating and killing opponents of the regime. It also has a long history of assaults on women riding bicycles while wearing improper clothes and who, quote, unquote, are badly veiled. Listen to one of the stories of the victims of an acid attack in Iran. Tamin was a young girl that her father threw acid on her in Qazvin on May 5th. She did not want to live with her addicted husband, but her father and brother forced her to live with him anyway. One day, Tamin argued about this issue with her father. Tamin tells about the events of that horrible day. My brother, after reaching the house, beat me and took my face in his hands and told my father to put acid in my face. Whatever I begged for them to forgive me, they did not pay attention to my words and spread the acid on my face and hands. Then they threw a rope around my neck and pulled from both sides to strangle me. I was anxiously angry, and I thought that I was going to be strangled. But an hour later, they did not care about me, and I repeatedly begged them to take me to the hospital. After hours and hours, my eldest brother came home and took me to the hospital. And thereafter, I was transferred to Tehran for continued therapy. Now, fortunately, Tamin came to Germany with the help of people in her therapy session, and she became a refugee in Germany. And after a while, she was accepted as a citizen, but she still has her wounds, and she's physically and emotionally still scarred. The only way we can get an understanding of the horror of this is to hear it from the words of those who have suffered through this. A couple of years ago, with the help of my Iranian friend Paymane, I wrote a blog called Confessions of an Acid Attack Victim. And I want you to hear this blog that takes you behind the scenes in the horror of these acid attacks. I was born healthy and cute. I was a sweet baby with big, beautiful black eyes. My parents sacrificed so much money and time for my education to make me and my future secure. I studied very hard. Studying in Iran is not easy. It's very stressful. It's very expensive. Recently, the government instructed the universities to offer the majority of the degree programs to only men, depriving women of the opportunity to compete for jobs. Once again, the Iranian regime is engaging in gender discrimination, which is to be expected when living in an Islamic society. After struggling through university, I met a wonderful man and decided, hey, I'm going to get married. You should have seen me. I was a beautiful bride. My parents helped us to have our own dream home. I was very satisfied and happy. Instead of taking a government job of teaching English, I had taught instead at a private institute. The government insisted that I follow all of the Islamic rules and regulations. They quizzed me about the Quran and Islam. I didn't want to be pressured by all of these regulations, so teaching at a private institute seemed so much more comfortable for me. Of course, I had to wear a hijab at the institute. Wearing the veil is mandatory for a woman in the public workplace. I was happy. I was a beautiful bride. I had a great job, a great group of students, and a wonderful husband. Then suddenly, one day, my life totally changed forever. I had just rolled down the window of my car to help a motorcycle rider with directions when suddenly I was blinded. I couldn't see. My whole face felt like 1,000 needles had punctured it all at once. It was like I was on fire. I screamed and pulled the car off the road as best as I could. My chest, arms, and hands felt like I had just climbed inside of a scorched oven. I immediately began to tear off all of my clothes. Cover yourself. You're a woman. Don't remove your clothes in the middle of the street. There are men here, the voices of women passing by shouted at me. I did not know the attacker. I didn't even see his face. What had I done wrong to him? In just a few minutes, he had destroyed my life forever. All that my parents had done for me in more than 3 decades, he had destroyed in just a few seconds. He had taken everything that God had generously given to me. He had played God with my life. In just a few seconds, he took away my beauty, my eyesight, my future, my life. He took everything away. but my breath. I wish he had killed me. Death is better than this life. I was a patient in the hospital for many long and difficult weeks. I felt like I was in hell when they removed the damaged and scarred skin from my face. I felt like they had also removed my soul, my whole being. They also took the soul of my parents and husband when they removed the ugly skin from my face. I will never be able to teach again. The children would be so frightened to look at my face. There is no justice, no peace for me. No closure. The government doesn't even look for my attacker. I am scarred and humiliated for life. I just want my beauty back again. My eyesight back again. I want to smile again. I just want to live again. I am miserable, and yet my attacker is free to enjoy his life. He can see. He can eat. He can have money. He is free to attack more women like me. My parents have spent all of their money to help me. My husband had to take out a loan, and now he cannot pay it off. He is depressed and has to see a psychologist. I have to get divorced. I have to ask my husband to leave me. He has the right to a normal life. I don't expect him to suffer and burn with me. I have just one question. Why? What did I do to deserve this? What sin did I commit? I just want to know who my attacker is. Does he really feel peace now? Dear God, please help me. Please rescue me from this hell and darkness. Please give me beauty again from all of my pain. The Bible says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. When Jesus first began preaching in Nazareth, he quoted from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he declared, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has told me to tell those who mourn, for the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessed instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair." This is what the Messiah says to those that are oppressed and brokenhearted. He is close to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Jesus has come to set the captives free. When I think of mesomai, pain, the physical, emotional, the spiritual pain that she is suffering from, I think of what Jesus has come to do. Jesus has come to give us beauty in the place of ugliness, to give us beauty from the ashes of our suffering. He has come to set captives free from their emotional and physical pain. He has come to the brokenhearted. He comes to save the crushed in spirit. And I'm praying today on the radio broadcast for mesomai and all acid attack victims to look to Jesus. Jesus has come to heal you. He has come to take the ugliness of your suffering and give you peace. He has come to restore your beauty. He has come to give you favor and healing and blessing. There are no words to describe the pain of a woman assaulted for no reason because of a controlling, ugly, evil human being that won't take no for an answer. When the woman says, "I don't want to marry you," he has to punish her. But Jesus has come to bring beauty out of the ashes of our suffering. He has come to heal our broken hearts. He has come to breathe new life into the ugliness of our pain. Jesus comes to restore us. And one day, the Bible promises, he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow, our suffering, our pain, our death. He will come to make all things new in the new heavens and the new earth, and he will crush all of his enemies. And the Bible says he will stand and reign for 1,000 years of peace. Jesus will come to take all injustices and turn them completely around. For women like Mezume, there is a day coming, a day of hope and celebration, when Jesus reigns forever on this planet and creates a new heavens and a new earth. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. He has come to restore our lives from the pit and hell of sin. Mezume, my message of hope to you is embrace Jesus. He will give you beauty from the ashes of your suffering. And to all of the suffering women of Iran, you have my voice every day. You have my prayers every day. I will not relent until you have freedom. I will not relent until you can go down the streets of Tehran and you don't have to have the fear of being monitored, of being watched, of being assaulted, of being attacked, of being discriminated against. I promise you, my Savior Jesus will heal and restore your pain. He is so good. He is so filled with reckless love. I want you to hear this song as we close today. And remember, he has come to bring beauty out of the ashes of your suffering. Please keep Mezume and all acid attack victims in Iran in your constant prayers before the Lord, that he may restore their pain and give them hope and freedom. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll see you next Monday on the cross in the desert. Let's listen to this beautiful song of hope and praise again by Corey Asbury.
Still your love.